Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/acast. That's burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness,
because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/acast and use code acast for 20% off your first purchase.
Welcome to Health and Safety Conversations. Here's your host, Tom Bourne.
Hi, and welcome to Health and Safety Conversations. I'm your host, Tom Bourne, and with me today is the amazing Hazel Duffy. Hazel, how are you?
Hey, Tom, thank you. Yeah, I'm good, thanks. How are you keeping?
Yeah, very well. Is that an Irish accent I'm picking up?
It is an Irish accent, believe it or not. Wow, you did well to pick that one, Tom.
Wow, I must be psychic or something like that.
That's it.
I must tell listeners, before we got on air, I actually made the cardinal mistake of actually saying to Hazel is an English accent, and she corrected me. But I thought it might be nice to get that out of the way and own up. I do make mistakes. Sorry about that. All right, Hazel, I know a little bit about you from doing research and seeing some of your posts on LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. But for those who haven't, aren't familiar with you yet, can you tell us a little bit about you and your journey, professional journey so far?
Yeah, okay. So I originally from the west of Ireland, and I've been in Australia for the last 5 years. I have a background in mining due to falling into the industry, having to do a certain period of regional work to stay within the country. After sustaining an injury on site, I ended up being within the stillness for the first time. And I decided that I wanted to make a difference within the mental health and safety industry in mining by building a well-being platform. So I'm also the founder of Enjoy Your Mine, which is exactly that. It's a well-being platform that provides a safe space for male and female workers on mine sites whilst they're being guided by professionals in different well-being sectors. This is within hope that it is being created whilst the mining reputation is being reinvented to a place of opportunities, safety, and enjoyment. Because the current reputation right now, as we know, isn't good, it's not sustainable. And I believe there's a lot of people just like us at Enjoy Your Mine in the mental health and space that are wanting to make a positive impact.
Yeah, excellent. So you started off, we came over, how long you've been in Australia?
5 years. Almost five years, yeah.
5 years. And obviously it's the best country in the world.
Yeah, it is. I want to stay here for sure. It's great. Ireland, close your ears. But yeah, I love it here. It's amazing.
Ah, beautiful. So you started off with some work in mining. You did some basic jobs, I can see there. Basically a lot of the basic mining jobs, loader, crushing, water cart, all those wonderful jobs. How did you find that work?
Yeah, so I actually started off on like a banana farm, and I did all the backpacking stuff. And after that, I got a phone call from a school friend to say that she had a mining opportunity for me. And before they would allow me to operate the machinery, I had to start by stick picking. So I literally had to pick the sticks out of the ore, and then I started operating the machinery. And I absolutely loved it. It was probably one of my favorite jobs I've ever had. Yeah, and I've been working since the age of, let's say, 14 in different sectors, different areas. And honestly, I love stick picking. I loved operating the loaders. I loved the crack I had with my peers. I think this was my first time being introduced properly to the Australian banter, and I just had great fun and a sense of community out there after a while. And yeah, it was just something that I could see myself progressing further in career-wise. I wanted to explore different areas in the mining industry. So I did exactly that. I went into geology. I went into helping the quantity surveyors. I just explored different sectors, and I thoroughly enjoyed it for sure.
Yeah, it's you talked about the, I don't know, it really is a bit of a culture when you go out on remote sites, isn't it? It's, you build a lot of good relationships with good team members out on site. And it's hard to explain that to people who never go out on these sites, and that they instinctively become part of your family, these people. And it might be 6, 12 months, you might not see them forever, but you catch up with them and it's just like you're back there like it was yesterday.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there are some positive things about working remotely. You did fly in and fly out, of course.
No, in New South Wales, my first gig, it was outside a place called Cobar. So it's still not Cobar as such. Cobar was maybe 45 minutes drive. But yeah, it was a place near Mount Boffy. There was no facilities, and we would sometimes drive to Dubbo or Sydney, but I was on a roster that was 13 days on and 1 day off. So I only had 2 days off every month when I first started mining, and I didn't really have an option. It was either get on with my colleagues or kind of live in misery. So yeah, I think it was, maybe that was why we formed such good relationships. We're also so very different. We had different backgrounds, different upbringing. Most of them lived around those regional rural areas. Yeah, due to not having any facilities, there wasn't even a bar. So they would get takeaway beers from the closest town, maybe half an hour away. And there was very minimum conversation when I first went out there between all of the crew. And then myself and another backpacker girl from Wales, we just kind of went in with this mindset that we wanted an upbeat environment, because we knew we had to stay there for 6 months. So we just started doing different things like teamwork and creating like games. I started 5 a.m. run clubs. I drove to Dubbo on my days off and got loads of sports equipment and just set up like different exercise classes. I changed the menu, which they weren't happy about because they've been in this system for quite a while, and change is always kind of scary. But after a while, and it got adjusted, we just became closer. People started to open up, and that's the beauty of it, is because people weren't just opening up to be a little bit more conversational. They were opening up to their true selves, like their authentic selves. They were safe enough to throw the jokes out that they wanted to, that were appropriate, of course. And yeah, anytime there was any conflictation, we had to deal with it between each other because we were just such a small group in the middle of nowhere. And there were a lot of things that are common issues over in WA and these big mine sites, which I have also worked on. But the thing is that this was a small group of people, so we dealt with that conflict among each other. And yeah, it just seemed to have worked a little bit better because we just did it amongst ourselves, and it was a little bit more cooperative, I guess, because we had that firm and foundational relationship already. Whereas when I see a huge lack over in Western Australia, especially in the bigger mine sites, because you don't have that foundational firm connection in place with your colleagues. There's a lot of staff turnover. There's a lot of, yeah, instance accidents. There's many other issues that I saw that I didn't see over in New South Wales. But yeah, in WA, you have the advantages of, you know, I had a swimming pool in my mine site. I had like an amazing gym. There was a bar. There were an oval to play football. Like, it's just kind of different perks for each one. So yeah, it was, I would definitely say that it was a family vibe. I had the family vibe in New South Wales, and I did also have it with my team in Western Australia, but it was just a bit different.
Yeah. It's not a lot. I believe it's not a lifestyle for everyone. Would you say that, or would you reckon that everyone can basically fit in and adapt to the environment?
No, I would definitely agree by saying it's not for everyone, because you do have to spend long time away from your family, from your friends, and it is physically demanding as well. Yeah, and you're also sacrificing some things with it. You can get benefits, of course. Like, there's many benefits of going into the industry, and I will often encourage people to go into the industry. If you have a plan, if you have an interest, go all in, but I wouldn't recommend it for those people who maybe have physical issues already. Like, you know, flights consistently can be physically demanding alone, never mind the actual 12 and a half hour shift, or sleeping in a room that's not equipped for any medical issues that you may have. So the likes of Mineral Resources, they're actually building in a home away from home style accommodation, which is absolutely fantastic. So these are the kind of things that need to keep happening for it to be more suitable for those people who it's not currently suitable for. So I guess that's where diversity and inclusion could come into hand in hand as well, if it was going down maybe people with disability or some medical issues as well. But mentally, it's going to have a strain on people by having that long distance relationship with your family, with your friends. And obviously I spent over a decade away from my family. I left home when I was 15, 16. So I related a lot to the minors, having that disconnection from their family, even when they were with their family, because they had missed out on so much time, like precious time with their family. And then as soon as you start to kind of get back into the swing of things at home, you have to go off again. So it's that kind of like touch and go. So I definitely would say it's not for everyone. I definitely would say if you're thinking about going into industry, kind of write down your pros and cons, like what is it that you're going in for, have a plan. You know, if you're particularly interested in progressing your career, what is it that you want to go? And yeah, reach for the stars, but definitely surround yourself with a supportive environment. And yeah, the well-being part as well, which I'm guessing we'll speak about a bit later on.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And you did some work as a blast operator. How'd you find that?
Yeah, again, I love that. Anything physically demanding, I just loved, because I love to get my body moving. You know, the more I was moving, the happier I was. I was a boxer in the days, and I'd done a lot of fitness work anyways. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Again, very physically demanding. I wouldn't be able to do it now after everything that happened, unfortunately. It was fun, interesting as well. It was my first time being properly exposed to the blast to the extent that I was shown in WA, because in New South Wales, I was on a lot of a smaller mine. The crew worked really well together. And obviously there's some danger aspects to it. But yeah, no, I absolutely loved my job. I loved my team. I loved getting up for work every morning when I was out there. So yeah. I would also recommend that role to someone who likes to stay actively fit and has an interest in explosives, demolition, mining alone. Yeah, it was a good gig for sure. I did enjoy it.
Fantastic. And you mentioned you suffered a workplace injury. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, so I was mining as a blast crew operator, and I had sustained a back injury. And I never had a back injury in my life before. I was so used to being physically active my whole life. So when I had this initial injury, I just kept pushing through. I was in that mining environment, you know, like it's like, come on, you can push through and you've got this. And I was a little bit fearful to report it at first because, you know, they're very strict on that. Particularly in the mind that I was, you know, that you have to report any incident, small, big. And I had sprained my wrist like a few months before, and it was tiny, and I was made to go and report it. And, you know, I was kind of laughed at, you know, that was That was small, although there's nothing wrong with you. And I was like, okay. So when I hurt my back, I was almost too scared to report it because, you know, I didn't want to kind of voice something that maybe will be fine in a couple of hours, will be fine tomorrow. So I was just trying to brush it off, but I kept going and pushing. And then, yeah, it got to the stage. I got into the vehicle and my back was already really sore. I got my colleagues to walk on my back. And then as soon as I put my foot down in the accelerator, I got sciatica down one leg and then I was sciatica down the other leg. And then it got to the stage, I just couldn't walk at all. And I was like, wow, okay. So I flew out and I couldn't walk. I had to be driven to the hospital. And I had gone to so many different examinations. And it wasn't just a bulging disc. We found out I have this incurable spinal cord condition. It's called syringohydromelia. And a lot of it can be impacted from heavy physical demanding work. So I'm working like pulling these massive hoses. They weigh a lot all day, putting the dyno into the ground, pulling, straining, walking on uneven ground, jumping up. Yeah, I was a little weapon. I loved getting right into the work. I'm Irish after all, you know, that's why you have us over here. But it just got too much. And after all of this, I found out I can't lift anything heavier than 15 kg. I can't go scuba diving anymore. I can't do a lot of things. I get sore after walking like maybe 20 minutes to an hour. Flights are kind of a fear for me now because I can get really sore. So what comes with this incurable spinal cord condition is that it will continuously grow and it blocks the messages from my brain down. So I've got numbness in my legs, pins and needles, tingling, and chronic pain over my body. So fibroglamia, I believe it's called. So there's some days I can't get out of bed. I'll be in so much pain. And yeah, some days I won't feel my leg and I'll be in a walk. And I actually had to sell my manual car because I was using my left leg to drive. And I almost had two incidents when I lost the feeling of my leg, but I also left the strength. So it's had a huge impact on my mental health. Yeah, to be honest, there were days where I was going to give up and I didn't know what I had to live for anymore. And I was devastated. But that whole system is another topic of conversation that I would like to kind of voice up about later on as well. You know, I didn't realize that within this system that there's slight, I don't know if I'm even allowed to say this, but if there's like corruption within the insurance and the employers and all this kind of stuff. And it just devastated me to find that out down the line that I'm, you know, this incident happened when I was 25. I had my whole life ahead of me and I was being brought to doctors that were already intended to not be in my favor and understand what my condition was until I decided to ring up WorkCover and they gave me honest advice and I got to see someone independently and that's when I started to get the care. So I would definitely voice out there that if you have reported it, go to your own independent doctors. Make sure that you have a good support group of friends around you because honestly, like it's probably like one of the most mental challenging times I've had in my life. So it has been a long road, but within that time of being in stillness, I was allowed and able to make good out of what I had seen on site. And that's when Enjoy Your Mind was born. I just started to replay all of the situations I seen on site. I used to see guys, you know, there's a lot of suicide in the industry. I used to stay on the phone to my friends all night. It's like all like hours of the night, try and talk them out of doing it. They felt trapped in a system, like a money trap, like, you know, they're too scared to leave, all these other things. And then I seen men who didn't have an education, much like my father, was working really hard for his family, his kids. And then his body was being affected and he wouldn't know what to do. There was a lot of issues in the financial literacy education on site. And also relationship issues. I've seen so much divorce, so much problems of, you know, kids trying to do the 50-50 or being away from your kids for the first time, trouble with the parents if they're not being cooperative. Yeah, relationship problems, pain, because pain, if you're in pain, you're not yourself. So I guess every element that you see in Enjoy Your Mind is an element of what can deteriorate your mental health or well-being. So it's there, those facilitators are there to basically provide you with that help, with that safe space that you can open up and ask for any guidance that you need, as well as share your stories with your peers so you can give them hope and resilience as well with what they're going through. Yeah, sorry, I went all around there.
That's all good. That's all good. Sorry if I put you on the spot. So Enjoy Your Mind, it is, as you said, a platform. I started to do some research on it yesterday because I thought, well, I should know about this. Mm-hmm. You have a wide range of facilitators that cover an awful wide spectrum of topics. As you said, financial advice, kind of important. Mm-hmm. But you also relationship issues. You've got things like coaches for physical fitness and maintaining your fitness. You've got people there that actually help people, I don't know, mentally cope with things. How did this all come about? What was the brainchild with it? Because I haven't seen anything like it. Mm-hmm. And I've seen a lot of people that tailor for.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/acast. That's burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
One particular niche, but you've got a collection. I hate to use horse terms, but a stable of first-class facilitators. Yeah. How did it come about? What was the thought pattern behind it? And how did you go about getting all these people on board?
Yeah, so I initially was still in the stillness, and I just wrote down on a piece of paper finance, psychology, vitality, and cultural engagement sessions. And I started to elaborate on that. What is it that people need in financial? Yeah, how to invest, how to manage their money properly, budgeting, how to get a house, how to get remortgaging, everything that I could think of. And then with psychology, relationships, yeah, just started brainstorming everything. And then I brought it to a friend and she was like, get it off the piece of paper, get it into the real world. So obviously I wasn't really walking that well at that stage because, yeah, I couldn't walk for a little while. And then eventually I went to a female founder event and I voiced it for the first time. I said, I have this idea. I've seen, you know, this company, BHB, is bringing a 50-50 target ratio for male and female mm-hmm. workers. And they have bars and they have gyms, but there's nothing in between to build a safe space for these minors to get to know each other and to have a sustainable workplace. You know, there's sexual harassment, there's bullying, there's all of these issues going on extremely. And you are bringing in these protocols in place, but I just don't think it's enough. I think they need to be in a room where they can have empathy towards each other, learn about each other, get to connect with each other on more than just a surface level of having a drink after work or kind of nodding in the gym. Like, it needs to be down to the nitty gritty stuff, and that's life, I'm afraid. But like, that's literally what it is. That's how you bond with your best relationships, your friendships, is by going through life together. And a lot of bullying comes from lack of empathy. So if you're listening to the person next to you telling you what they're going through, you may understand why they're acting the way they are in work. There's that connection built. I've seen a woman being bullied on site. It was her first time in the industry. She was going through a menopause. She was 50. She was, yeah, she was kind of lacked in engagement on a mine site that we were doing blast operations, which is really dangerous. And she started getting bullied by grown men. She's been called all these different names because of her lack of engagement, like, oh, you're a fairy, all of these little things. Whereas when I know, because she had claimed and spoken to me that she was going through a massive divorce, she'd been cheated on, she had been away from her child for the first time, she had so many problems, she's going through a menopause. Like, that's actually, brain fog is like a massive thing in menopause. And yeah, and they just see it on the outside because of that lack of empathy, because of that lack of connection, as someone who is just not wanting to be there, or someone who's away with fairies, or whatever the way that they portrayed it. But in reality, it's because there's so many issues going on at home, and you can't leave your issues behind you when you go on site. You're bringing your backpack of issues with you, and the heavier the issues, the heavier the backpack, the less likely you are to be able to do your job efficiently. So instead of unpacking your backpack of problems at the bar, which is only going to leave you to pick up those problems again and bring them home and do the same thing the next day, same with the gym, this time Enjoy Your Mind's providing a space where you can unload it, you can explore these problems, you can learn how to manage them effectively, tools and resources through professionals and your colleagues to help you lessen those problems as much as possible. Or even if it's not to lessen them, be supported by people who want to help you, who will be there for you, who will be your pillow of support if you fall, this kind of stuff. So how I got the facilitators was I actually participated in a financial literacy education workshop myself. And yeah, turns out that woman had worked for a mining company for many years, had a conversation, asked her if she was interested in what I wanted to do, and she was. And I did that with everyone in my recovery. So I went to physio for my recovery. I went to PT training, and I started to speak with all of these professionals. I had to do spinal health prevention courses in the most engaging way possible, because I'm very, yeah, I like to be engaged. Mm. So it was through MMA, like coordination skills, and just asked them if they wanted to get involved. But everyone was willing to get involved because they all see it's a massive problem in the industry. And then eventually months went on, and I decided I needed to get away a little bit. And whilst I was away, I started interacting. I approached this man. He was an Aboriginal man, and he had this funky hat. And I just spoke to him and I said, like, look, this hat is really cool. And he was like, let me bring you out and your friends to country, my country. And he taught me how to pick oysters off the rock. He did a welcome ceremony for us. He told us stories. He taught us how they lived traditionally through the lore back in the day, how they approach problems, how the elders would sit the youth down and let them talk out the problems. And yeah, it inspired me to open up a book, which I had for years, called The Dreaming Path. And it's basically the Aboriginal way of well-being. And he has lots of tips in there about how they believe in order for me to be well, you need to be well, so that they looked out for each other back in the day. And I reached out to him, and he ended up being in Darwin the same day that I was going to be in Darwin. And we caught up. He became a facilitator. Then I was standing on a beach, and a financial literacy educator that I had tried to get onto for 7 weeks, because he's heavily involved in mining, he eventually called me back, and we were both standing on Cable Beach. We were both staying in the same caravan park. It was all just like perfectly aligned, you know, and it wasn't all in Perth. It was in Broome in Darwin. And I ended up accidentally walking into the Minister of Innovation's office as well one day. It was just uncannily aligned with what I wanted. So I just kept going with it. And I guess I just kind of gained an interest as well in further developing it with the TEDx speakers, because I believe that we have so many opportunities offsite. And I thought it would be an interesting way to provide them with further opportunities on site to hear like resilience stories, truth storytelling, to help with their mental health and their resilience. Because being in the industry, you need a lot of resilience, I believe. to continue. So yeah, and athletes as well, as you can imagine, you know, they're people of resilience and highly admired for what they do and the training that they do. And I believe that they can give a lot to the minors as well by just storytelling. So it's just gradually built up to how it is now, by conversation and approaching people, really.
Okay, your facilitators deliver a number of workshops, and I can see you've got different levels of packages, etc. Are those workshops delivered on site or via technology, or what's how are they delivered?
Yeah, so the workshops are mostly on site in a room, meeting room. This is most favorable so you can build that connection properly and also feel like you can be guided efficiently. But there are some facilitators that are interstate or international sometimes, because they fly internationally. Like the well-being psychologist, he's like the most globally qualified well-being psychologist there is. And he's like always going to different countries. I think he's in like Turkey now, but he will be doing them on webinars. So that's, again, it's less interactive in that person, but the amount of contact that he has to deliver is just going to be as beneficial, especially around the relationship and connections, because that's what he kind of specializes in at the minute. And yeah, as you can see, he travels around a lot as well, so he'd be able to relate a lot to the minors in that degree, I believe.
All right. One of the things, I mean, I'll be honest, I started off doing a little bit of work in mining two decades ago, and the facilities on some of those places I went to were bordering on zero. Some of them had fairly rubbishy accommodation. Some of them had fairly rubbishy, very poor food even on offer. And I go to most camps today, and it's a little bit different than that, a little bit different. Some of them are a bit better than others. Some of them have swimming pools, some of them have squash courts, some of them have libraries, all these wonderful things, which looks good. And it certainly is better than the day where I was out there, you know, out in some of the sites. But one of the things that a few miners I've spoken to recently have said is you can build all the facilities you like on a mine site. After we come back to camp and we've spoken to the family and we've got some food, we're ready for bed.
Mm-hmm.
We don't even want to go to the gym or play on the basketball court or anything like that. We're just too tired.
Yeah.
Are these workshops done predominantly outside work hours for the miners?
Yeah, predominantly they are, with an option during work hours. Mostly that would be for the leaders as well. But I understand that. I've seen that as well. I think it's really important to make sure that, yeah, you wind down correctly after working a long amount of hours. Not everyone's going to want to go into these workshops. I completely understand that. But it's a great opportunity. And the whole purpose of it is to provide the miners with the opportunity as well. And to know that that is there for them, to help them along the way. And I want the mining companies to believe in that as well. Like, you know, this is there to be there for them. If they need this, they do need this, and the opportunity is there. And not many people here in Perth can say that they have the opportunity to walk opposite their room and just be delivered an incredible 1 hour workshop on how to better their finances for free, like for free for the miners. So if I was still up in the mines and I was landed that opportunity, I would jump right on it. I'd be like, yeah, of course I want to better myself. I want to better for my family. And if this is how I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. But yeah, I do see that. I do see that I was in a state of coming home from work and I would just grab my food and call whoever and go to bed. But I actually used to wake up more tired doing that. I believe that you should go exercise afterwards, because exercise gives you more energy. And also, if you're in a job role that's I don't know whatever job role it is, but if it's not stimulating your mind intellectually, then there's another opportunity for you to go in there and to further your education and stimulate your mind if you're not getting that satisfaction of education or intellectual conversations as well. Maybe you're alone in a machine all day and you just want to go and speak to people in another level. Like, you know, it's going outside your comfort zone, going out of your repetitivity norm, because your repetitivity norm is kind of what's going to lead to further issues sometimes, like depending on yourself. So I am highly aware of it, but also I still firmly believe in what this platform can provide. So
absolutely. And I think you're right. If you are literally just doing work, eat, talk, bed, I think the danger is you talked about baggage. I think is you're not unpacking that baggage at all. You're just basically loading it, putting it on the floor, and then tomorrow you're going to pick it up again. So I love the platform insofar as it can help educate people. And it's not just financial education. It's not just physical fitness. You have a lot there about people's nutrition, which is awesome. Yeah. I wish some of the kitchen staff might look at some of the nutritional information that your experts can actually provide. And you do have a lot there, which is it's tailored at making things a bit more female friendly on site, I'd suggest.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. I want to make it clear that this is for male and women. You know, I had peers that were both male and female on site, and I want them to use this space as much as they can. I know that there could be that environment of, maybe they don't feel that comfortable to go, but I want them to know that this is for them as well. It's for everyone just to come together, to be a community, and to move forward within the industry and within themselves. Yeah. So it will be definitely great, for the industry.
Yeah. That was one of those scary things I saw the other day. I think it was something like there was a study and it came out and said that over 60% of men, when they were asked the question, who do you confide in whenever you have any troubles, over 60% came out and said no one. They didn't feel comfortable in talking about their problems to a single person. Now, that's a scary figure for me. Yeah. And I don't know if it's the same for the ladies or not, but I know on site they might have limited opportunities to actually talk to people about issues which may affect them individually. So no, it's a good, it looks really good.
On that note, like growing up, I grew up with brothers. I don't have any sisters. I grew up in boxing, in like MMA, construction, horse racing, mining. All of my areas were heavily male dominated, as well as my friendships. I had a lot of male friendships, obviously. I was heavily around that, and I could see we would have the crack, we would joke around, and it was, it could be surface level. And I see a lot of the time males, they felt more open to confiding in a woman. And it was something that really upset me. I was on a farm once, and there was this older man. He was retired, but he was still coming to work on the farm, and his wife had passed away. And he didn't like drinking. And he was like, I have nothing to do since she passed away. I have no one to talk to because, you know, all the guys just go drinking. And, you know, it just really upset me because he was there chatting to us and he just wanted to talk to someone. And it was about real stuff. Like, and I have so much empathy towards men that feel alone and that they don't have someone to talk to, because since I stopped mining, I started to actually form a lot of female friendships. And I found my faith, and I was around very supportive communities in terms of how to conversate with people. And since I had this foundation in my life, a lot of other areas started to grow correctly and functionally. So I'm really grateful for that. So I would definitely prioritize trying to find at least one person that you can confide confining, and whether going to groups like mental health groups, like maybe there's men's mental health talks here in Perth, there's like these community groups that go running or swimming in the mornings, or if that's not even you, find something that you like and try and find it within a support group. It could be like I did a golf for mental health a few days ago, and I don't like golf, but I like mental health. I went anyways, and it was great, like lots of nice conversations. There's lots of stuff out there, but yeah, we will really prioritize on forming good connections, especially for the males in there with each other. And you had said that Enjoy Your Mind has all of these things. We have many things within the platform, but what we don't have is these mental health specifically options, because there's a lot of them out there, and there's no point in me putting them into my program when there's already so many people out there specializing in that particularly. And I put my hands up to them, you know, yeah, go to them. I'll highly say that, because all of us, like all of our us contractors that are in this together, we will work better together at providing a better workplace and community and society and beyond that. So yeah, I think we're all on this mission together, and yeah, I hope that the people in the mining companies, if they do feel alone, that they know that we are coming out there and we're going to try our best to provide them a better environment or community supportive. Yeah,
it can only help. Hazel Duffy, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you today. And I've loved the conversation, and I love your idea, and I recommend anyone who is thinking of improving facilities, opportunities for your people on site, to actually look at the website, Enjoy Your Mind, contact Hazel. But for now, we've just about run out of time, so thank you very much.
Thank you, Tom. Yeah, thanks.
I look forward to speaking to you again soon.
Likewise. Take care. All the best.
Thanks for listening to Health and Safety Conversations with Tom Bourne. Until next time, stay safe and enjoy the rest of your week.